I have a thought I want to kind of share. It's a little bit different than what I'm used to. Some preachers say, oh, I'm the fireball that comes in like the evangelist. But today I more so have just a message on my heart, something a little bit more sobering than uplifting and something more convicting. Before I get there, I want to tell some interesting facts about Christmas. Obviously, we're in the Christmas season. What I learned today from Forbes and a couple other websites is 89% of people will celebrate Christmas this season, while the other 11% will not. The average American, this blew my mind, spends over $800 on Christmas items. Over $800 on Christmas items. That's over $475 billion spent this year alone on Christmas. That's a lot of money. With all the money spent, 76% of people will purchase at least one, if not all, of their gifts online. Can we praise God for Amazon Prime? I do not have to go Black Friday shopping. I can order it, and in 2 days, it's coming to my house. Man, I do not like shopping out there. It's crazy. It's like a wilderness. And Christmas shopping makes up to 20% of the retail industry's annual sales. So 20% of what any business will make is from the Christmas season. We spend a lot of money at Christmas. Unfortunately, some Christmas decorations start to go up at the beginning of November. We can't even get through Thanksgiving yet. Some people even start to put up their decorations during October. I drive by houses and I see all these lights and I'm like, oh my goodness, can we have turkey first? Why are you guys already in the Christmas spirit? And for others, as soon as the turkey is off the table, minutes later, they're running outside to throw up the decorations, putting in the tree, and it's such a great time. The extent of my Christmas decorations is my front porch light this year. I actually have some pictures. Me and my family, the Cressmans, we had a group text message, and we're talking about how we're decorating our houses. And so I brought some pictures to show you of some different ideas that people had. That's the first one. That's Sister Cressman's idea. That's something that she would like. And when I was there for Christmas, me, Cullen, and Dad all had to get on top of the roof for hours to build something like that for her because she loves a lot of lights. But Cullen and I were guys, and we don't really like decorating like that. So we had some other ideas. If you go to the next picture. That was a cool one. That's, you know, that's amazing, of course. Like, I did so much work, but, you know, Dr. Seuss is the character from the book, stole it all. So that's my Christmas decorations. And I have another picture for you. That's one that I would do. Ditto. Just whatever my neighbor did, that's the house that I want. Then I brought one especially for the Johns family, if you'd show the next one. This is one that's probably going to be in their yard next year. I know he really would enjoy that. It's Christmas season. It's such a great time of the year. Kids are anxiously anticipating getting gifts. While the presents are nestled under the tree, they run by when their parents aren't looking, shaking the gifts, trying to figure out what is inside of the gift. I saw on Facebook a parent that had a bunch of empty boxes under their tree. And anytime the kid acted up, he would take a box and throw it into the fireplace and scare the kid. I do not advise that, but Christmas time. It's a time where crazy emotions are happening. However, kids everywhere are heartbroken and disappointed because on Christmas Day in their pajamas, they run down to the tree and as they're ripping apart all the wrapping paper, they find these rectangle-shaped boxes. And inside is not toys like what they would like, but inside is unnecessary things like socks or shirts. And they just kind of throw that to the side or say, thanks, and then throw it away and sit there and try to get a toy. It's Christmas time. Jobs and families host Christmas parties, including the famous ugly Christmas sweater party. How many of you own an ugly Christmas sweater? I have a couple. The Christmas party always brings out that awkward and crazy person that we try to avoid year around. We all have that one uncle that we see at Christmas time that shows up late and leaves before the cleaning starts. Radio stations everywhere become overrun with Christmas carols. People serve hot cocoa and go door to door singing the only Spanish words they know. Feliz Navidad, something, 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 something. Every year, an annoying group of people pray, let it snow. While people like me that hate the cold pray, Lord, no, please don't. Christmas is considered the most wonderful time of the year. But what is Christmas all about? Is it about the gifts, the trees? Is it about lights or people that we meet, family and friends? Is it about the food that we eat? What is Christmas all about? Christmas is the time that we've set aside, that we've designated to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago, I was discussing with a young man about he was hurt from the church, and he said, well, if I came to your church and it was my first time, where would you start if I asked you how to get saved? Because his thought was all you Pentecostals care about is people speaking in tongues. And I said, well, you're starting at the wrong place. The place where I always start is God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And further, man has sinned, and our wages or our earnings because of our sin is death. It's a separation from God. And so the story of the Bible is a way for man to be reconciled back to Christ. The story of the Bible is a way that we can restore our relationship with our loving God, Jesus Christ. And so I said, that's where I would start. And the way, obviously, is new birth, but God, more than anything, wants a relationship with you and I. And that's why he sent his only son. That's why there is a Christmas. There would have been no cross if there was no birth of Jesus. There would be no salvation if there was no Christ. There would be no relationship with Jesus Christ if there was not what we celebrate in Christmas. We are celebrating that God Almighty came in a manger. Matthew 1, 21 and 23 says, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet by the Lord, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. Jesus Christ is literally God manifest in the flesh. If you would turn to Luke chapter 1, we're going to do a couple reading together. Because Luke also records an angel foretelling or talking to Mary and Joseph about Jesus' birth. And in Luke 1, verse 46 and 47, Mary did what we just did a little bit earlier on during the song service. In Luke 1, 46, it says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That we are so thankful. We lift up our hands because God died for us. Because we have a testimony. Now we're fit into the story of Christ. That he has come down to die on the cross. And we have accepted that we've been born again. And now we're walking and talking with Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. And so Mary is magnifying God because he has come down. And this amazing prophecy that's about to be fulfilled in her life. And as we continue to read in Luke, we find that Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to pay taxes. And while in Bethlehem, they couldn't find a place to stay. So they stayed where the animals slept. And during their stay, Jesus was born. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was laid in a manger. Luke chapter 2, if you turn there, I'm going to read the even verses and I want you guys to read the odd verses together as a group so that we all can capture what's really going on here. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. I'm going to read the even, you read the odd all together as a group. Luke 8, 2, verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So these shepherds were in the field, and all of a sudden these angels peered out of nowhere, and now they're all scared. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced a supernatural or angels or a demonic presence, but it's something where it's like shocking. If you're not used to that, it's like, what is going on here? And in verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Everyone say good tidings. Amen. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All right, let's get together on it. This side's a little bit slower. All right, you ready? One, two, three. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. The Savior is finally here. He is Christ the Lord, Jesus, God Almighty, the everlasting Father, the mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. The shepherds were told good tidings. Tidings means news. So they were told good news about a Savior that's coming. They were literally told the gospel. In Luke 2:11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That no matter what your life is, no matter what your story is, Jesus has come to seek and to save those who are lost because he loves you. Jesus has come to save. They will know who the Savior is because there will be a sign wrapped, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And in verse 15, the shepherds decided to go and see Jesus. In verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and this babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, when they had seen Jesus, the sign, the good news that the angel told them, they made it known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. When they saw Jesus, they spread the good tidings. When they saw Jesus, they spread the good news. Shameless plug here from the evangelism pastor. The shepherds, not the priests, became evangelists, and they went out and told other people about Jesus, that he has come to seek and to save those who are lost. Their message was Luke 2:11. Unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's not just for someone who's behind the pulpit, but this season what we can do is we can go and tell people the real meaning of Christmas, that Jesus Christ was born to die for our sins. As we continue to read verse 18, and they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Read that. They heard it and they wondered, what is going on here, that Jesus Christ the Lord, what are you talking about, shepherds? Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In the NIV it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She said, this is important. What is going on here is not just something that we're going to celebrate every year. What's going on here is something that is precious. It's something that I should really think about. It's something that I should remember. Someone say remember. She was remembering Christ. Look to your neighbor and say, remember Christ. Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. What I've come to tell us today is what happens all too often at Christmas time. We get so caught up in the decorations, the food, the family, the friends, the fun, the presents, the gifts, that we forget about Jesus Christ. Seems a little bit cliche, but if we all examine ourselves, this week has been busy with the snowstorm and then church being canceled and now the Christmas plays bringing over and we're trying to figure all this out and moving instruments in and out. We can get so caught up in what's going on around our lives and where we're going for Christmas and who has gifts and who doesn't have gifts yet. Who's making the food? Where are we going? And we get so caught up in everything that's going on that we can forget Jesus. Or even worse, we just say, okay, it's 5 minutes of time on Christmas Day. We sit all the kids down and before we just let them loose like rabid dogs, we say, okay, we're going to tell the Christmas story. Here it is. And then now the rest of the day, we don't even think about Jesus being born. Worried about our gifts and dressing up. And we can have all that. But what I'm saying, we don't need to just have this. We need to have this and that. We need to remember Christ. Someone say, remember Christ. Because that's what Mary did. She treasured God. She said, this is something that's not just, I should just, oh, it's another happening. It's another thing that just happened. This is just another day. But no, this is a treasure. This is something precious. We need to get the Mary mindset. She treasured up that God has come to seek and to save those who are lost. She's treasured up that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. She treasured up that God so loved the world that he gave, that God purchased the church with his own blood. She remembered that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Where sin abounds, grace does more abound. The Mary mindset says, in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he was born to die for our sins. Jesus came to reconcile the world to himself. Jesus was born so that we can have a relationship with him. And Mary treasured that. That God Almighty, the God of the universe that spoke and the stars came into existence, that he came down as a baby in Jesus so that he could one day be the sacrificial lamb so that we can have a relationship with him. Amen. So no matter what our life is going on, no matter how broken, no matter our sin, no matter our family, no matter our physical issues, no matter the financial issues, that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ, and he's going to take us up to glory one day. And it's all because of what we celebrate on Christmas. But too often we forget. We get too wrapped up. And the unfortunate thing is that Christmas season is just a small example of our overall lives. We get so busy that we forget Jesus. We get mad when people say Xmas because they left Christ out of Christmas, but then how many days do we really leave Christ out of our lives? We get so wrapped up in work and careers and holidays and church services, and we get so wrapped up in not necessarily bad stuff, but we're so wrapped up in that that we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We wake up and we have so many things to get ready that we didn't get on our knees and pray before God. We read all the news articles and Instagram and Facebook, and I have Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and I get on those things, but we can get so wrapped up in that we didn't even read the Bible that day. We get so wrapped up in this world that we forget that there's a God in that world wanting to bring us there, and we have to have a relationship with Him. We get to know Jesus Christ. But Mary had a treasure. She remembered Christ, that God loves me. As I was reading and studying this Christmas story, I came across what the word Bethlehem means. It's a Hebrew word that means the house of bread or bread house. And that instantly triggered the account from John chapter 6, if you turn there, John chapter 6. Jesus is talking to a group of people here. In verse 31, and it says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Verse 34, "Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The children of Israel were in need, and while they were in the wilderness, and God gave them manna from heaven, God gave them bread. He goes on to say that he is the bread of life, that's just a foreshadowing that now you don't necessarily need this manna, but he has come down to reach our needs, that he is the bread of life, and whosoever believeth on him can have a relationship with him, can be born again and make it to heaven. And thinking of Mary's mindset made me think of what happens when we forget Christ. Went back and started listening to Brother Scott Graham's message, "Would You Like a Side of God With That?" And in this message, he articulates that to us, bread is a side dish, that when we go to Outback or Applebee's, they kind of put pumpernickel or whatever kind of bread out on the table. And if you decide to eat it, then you eat it. We put so much butter on it. It's miserable. I do too much bread all the time that by the time the meal comes, I'm not even that hungry. But it's a side dish. We don't even necessarily have it. Imagine, guys, if you go home and you've been working all day and your wife says, "Babe, I made a meal for you. I got a feast." And then the next thing you know, you're saying, "Okay, what is it, babe? I'm so excited. What you got? You got some collard greens, some chicken fried steak. What you got?" And she says, "I got bread." "Okay, what else?" "Just bread." "You got peanut butter and jelly at least?" "I got bread." Because in the Bible days, bread was not a side dish. It was everything. It was a main course. And so when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," what they understood in that time is that's not something that you can decide to want or you can decide to take up. That's something that you eat daily. It's the daily bread, that manna that fell from heaven. It's something that reaches our need. It's something that sustains us. And God has come so that we can have him every single day, just like they had manna. God has come so that we can have daily bread in him, that we can have a walk and a relationship with him. Not that we just write the word Christmas down and, oh, we remember to put Christ in there. But every single day we put Christ in our lives. Every single day we're falling in love with the word of God. It's not something that we have to just check off because we're trying to read through it in a year. But it's something, oh man, I love it. I'm binging on the Bible, not just on Netflix shows. I'm binging. Look at this story. What happens to David? Oh, why did Samson do that? And we're getting so involved in the Bible that we lose track of time. We lose track of everything else that's going on, just like people do with movies. We should be that way in the word of God. We should be that way in prayer, just like a guy and a girl when they're young. younger, they can talk for hours. They fall asleep on the phone and listen to each other breathe. That's how we should be with Jesus Christ. Every single day, we need to talk to him for hours. We need to get caught away in a relationship with him, that he loves us, that he has come on Christmas season to die for our sins, to seek and to save those who are lost. We have to remember Christ. We have to be like Mary and treasure those things. We can't just say, oh, that's cool, it's for Sundays and Wednesdays, or just for special family devotions for 5 minutes before we open up the Christmas presents. But every single day, we have to remember Christ. Someone say, remember Christ. That we get to have this relationship with Jesus. Close your eyes for a moment with me. Think about that. Remember Christ right now. What's the reason for Christmas? That he has come down to save you, to save me. I know the sins that I've done. I know the mistakes that I've made, the bad attitudes that I've had. And I didn't deserve it. And when I think of all that God has done, I must treasure it. I must remember it. I can't just let it be cliche or just do it with the music, but I have to get a hold of this, that I have a true passion for a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may open your eyes. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23 is a sobering, sobering text. Verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works." And this is God speaking. "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." These people are using the name of Jesus and being used and doing marvelous things for the kingdom of God. And when they finally get there, Jesus looks at them and says, "I don't know you." So as I was reading that in my freshman year Bible college, I started to say, okay, I like to be creative. I would like to think that this was my sermon prop, but it's not. But I was like, man, what can I do to get the point across that I never knew you? That's a really cool verse. It's really sobering. I want to preach that sometime. How can I get that point across? And so naturally, I went to the mall with a hidden camera on. And when I went there, it's in St. Louis. I had no idea who anybody was. And I was walking up to random people that I never met before. I tried, Sister Mary, forgive me. I stayed on there a long time. So I would walk up to someone. "What's up, Joe? What's up, man? You doing good? You used to be my science teacher in the third grade." I don't know that guy's name. I don't know if he's even a teacher. And I have a hidden camera on. These people are like, "What?" Some people laughed at me. "Nah, bro, you got the wrong one. That ain't me. I ain't no teacher. I didn't even graduate. That ain't me." I'm like, "No, you are Joe." "No, I'm not Joe." Walk up and hug a random lady. "What's up, Miss Crocker? You are my fourth grade home economics teacher. Get off me. Who's this young man?" "Security." I'm just getting kicked out of the mall. It was crazy. I'm walking around and I'm recording this because one day I'm going to put this video together. I'm going to show it, that awkward moment when, that was really cool back then, that awkward moment when you thought you knew somebody, but yet they really don't know you. Then I got to T-Mobile and I walked in and there was this young guy there. And I'm like, "Oh, man, you play basketball, right?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah." I was like, "Oh, you had that mean crossover in the three-pointer, huh?" Of course, a guy's probably like, "Yeah, yeah, that's me, that's me." He probably don't even know how to put it in the rim. He's like, "That's me, that's me." I'm like, "Bro, I wish I could play him right now. Get a phone out in a little trash can. We about to go at it." And so he's like, "Yeah, that's me." I'm like, "You play at the Y, right?" He was like, "Yeah, that is me, yeah." And I'm like, "Hey, we played last week together. Remember, we won like 4 games in a row." I'm normally good with faces. It's possible that I know you, but I don't know you. And that's what he said to me. He said, "It's possible that I know you, but I don't know you." And as I left T-Mobile, my heart was broken because I had to check myself. Am I so busy in life, doing ministry, going to Bible college, doing things for the kingdom of God, that I forget Christ? See, Christmas is just really a picture of our entire lives, that we get so wrapped up, no pun intended, we get so wrapped up in what's going on right now that we forget Jesus Christ. And I've come to warn everybody here today, including myself. Don't make it to heaven one day and say, I was on the chips team. I was involved in choir. I was an usher. I was a hostess. I was a speaker. I went to Hope Ministry, to nursing home ministry. I was involved in all these ministries. I went to every small group, every life group. I was involved. And then God looks at us like the guy in T-Mobile looked at me. It's possible that I know you, but I don't know you. Would you bow your heads right now with me? This Christmas season, it's an enjoyable time. You're going to see so much enjoyment from kids opening gifts, and the Christmas play is going to be awesome in a Galilee far, far away. You need to bring somebody. It's going to be a blast. We have so many big events coming up. We have the Christmas Eve service, New Year's Eve service, going to have communion. We have so much going on. Even in your life, you're probably having to go ahead and start getting ready to cook. You're wrapping presents, hiding it around the house. You might have issues at home. You might have to worry about that one family member that's crazy that's going to show up at your Christmas. You might still be decorating. You might haven't even started Christmas shopping yet. There's so much going on right now. But just like in Revelations 3:20, God is standing at the door and he's knocking, saying, if any man answer, I will come in and dine with him. I just want to have a relationship with you. That's really all why I came to earth, is to start the story, to have a covenant relationship with you. And you can come and you can worship me on Sunday and you can shout and rejoice. And yes, I love that. And you need to continue to do that. You need to continue to serve and be busy in the kingdom of God. But don't forget about the private relationship. Don't make it such a public thing that you forget about me in private. In private. Can we all stand? My girlfriend Natalie, she's at IBC right now. She's sick, so she stayed home. She stayed in the dorms. I like to think it's just because I'm preaching, so she wanted to hear me, but I know she's really not feeling well. But imagine if Natalie and I are dating, and the only time I talk to her is in public. We're not going to last very long. Imagine if I only talked to her when I needed something. It's not going to be that good of a relationship. But what does it take? And I'm learning this. I'm not even married, so you guys can speak on this a lot more than me. You got to spend time with your wife, even when you don't want to. That's what guys, y'all's marriage advice to me since I've been here. That's what y'all been telling me. It ain't just about looks, DJ. She better have some brains. You better be willing to just spend time with her. To be able to sit on the couch. You're not going to always have money to go out. Sometimes she's going to have to sit and talk to her. But we get so busy that we treat God like that. We talk to him when we need something. We talk to him when it's convenient. When the music is going and we feel the emotional pull of the preacher or the singing, that's when we want to talk to God. But we need to be like Mary. In Luke 2:19, she treasured up these things. She kept all these things because Christ, this day in the city of David, is born. God Almighty has come to know you, to know me. Isn't that mind blowing? That's not just something a preacher's saying. That's crazy to me that God loves me, that God died for me. And I can't get so wrapped up in what's going on around me that I forget Christ. So I wonder if there's anybody, can you self-examine yourself, that in this Christmas season and even in life, that you've just been so busy that you kind of just forgot Christ. You're not really treasuring him up. You're not really keeping him close like what we should do. If that's you today, and I'm going to be the first, would you make your way to this altar and let's spend some time with God? I haven't preached very long. We have an entire time. We have a lot of time to pray. But can we just come to this altar and let's spend time with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Getting to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.
Come on, let that be your prayer today. God, I'm making you Lord of all once again. It's not that I'm a bad sinner, but God, I've just got unaligned. I'm straightening some things out, Lord God. I'm going to remember you. I'm going to treasure you, that you love me. I'm going to remember what Christmas is all about, that you're the reason for the season. God, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for dying. Thank you for loving me. God, I want a relationship with you. Lord, let my desire be you, Jesus.
Jesus, you're the center.
In the day when the prophets of Baal and Elijah were facing off on top of the mountain, they both built altars, and all day Baal's prophets are screaming and shouting and cutting themselves trying to get their God to answer by fire. And then Elijah built an altar. He repaired the altar. And what he did is he said, go and get me water. And he brought water and he poured it on the altar. And as you read that, it's curious. Why is he putting water on an altar? Is it so that, you know, it's more of a miraculous thing that the fire's there because the wood's wet? What you have to understand is that they were in a drought. And so water in that day was precious. Water in that day was precious. And so what Elijah was doing is he was giving God something that is precious. And he's saying, this is what I'm laying on the altar. Because when I lay what's precious to me on the altar, that's when you answer. That's when we have a relationship with you. And in today, we don't have a drought of water, but we have a drought of time, because we're glued to phones, we're glued to screens, we're glued to all these other hobbies that in the eternity, it really doesn't matter. Not saying it's not fun or sinful, but it really doesn't matter. And we have so much going on that we're not pouring time on our altar. We're not pouring time on our altar. And the Old Testament prophet said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face. That's not just a second of time, but that takes time. If you seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will answer their prayers. I will heal their land. So this Christmas season, let it start now until God comes back, to remember Christ. And let's pour time on that altar. One more time, can we lift our hands? And can you sincerely, with everything in you, can you passionately say, God, I want more of you than ever before. I'm not going to get so caught up in what's going on in the here and the now. But God, I'm pouring time on my altar, Lord God. I worship you, Jesus.